The Post-War Architecture Task Force of Greater Phoenix has compiled a new list of the top 25 mid-century buildings that are eligible for protection but do not have it. To qualify, buildings have to still be standing and not have been altered too far. They have had to have been in the mid-century Marvels book. They have to be eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. And in the eyes of the task force, they have to be missed if they were gone. The 25 include banks, offices, a dry cleaner, and a bowling alley. Allison King with ModernPhoenix.net is a member of the task force. I met her at one of the buildings on the list, the Phoenix Financial Center, in what is now the offices of the Design Firm Shapley Bullfinch, and asked her about the list.
We're really concerned about the state of commercial architecture here in Phoenix and the rate of development that's happening with our mid-century buildings. And so the Post-War Architecture Task Force took a look at the Mid-Century Marvels book, which was written by Don Ryden many years ago, and started to realize that many of those buildings no longer existed. And so about 4 years ago, we put together our first top 25 list, and it included some of the greatest hits. We have amazing mid-century banks in the city, so it included lots of the banks. And what we found is over the years, since we've gotten out of the recession and development is starting up again, that we have new priorities and new concerns. First among them is the Stewart Motor Company building downtown, which many people know as Circles Records, and the development circle on Central that's happening there.
Phoenix, obviously, as you said, has quite a history of mid-century buildings, especially commercial buildings, bank buildings, and other types of commercial buildings. What is the state now in terms of trying to preserve them or convert them into some other use?
Well, we are seeing a lot of adaptive reuse of the mid-century buildings here in town, especially for use in restaurants and hospitality. Any drive up and down 7th Street in Camelback area, you can see a lot of activity going there. But we're not seeing a lot of pure preservation like we see here at the Phoenix Financial Center, or restoration, where it's taking it back to its original state or close to its original state. So part of the reason why we made the top 25 list was to bring attention to the property owners and to let them know that we Phoenicians really love the city that we live in, and we love the design, and that it's really worth preserving, because without that protection, anything could happen. And Circles is a great example.
So are you concerned that any of those buildings could either meet a wrecking ball or be changed so much that they lose what they have from the mid-century modern design?
Absolutely, and especially in the post-recession era, the development is happening so quickly and is so hard to regulate. And, development along the light rail has made real estate quite valuable along that strip. And so, I think we have to be very vigilant and very proactive rather than reactive, and that's part of why we developed the top 25 list.
So what kind of protection would you like to see these buildings get?
I would love nothing more than to see them on the National Register of Historic Places and also on the City Register, because while the National Register of Historic Places sounds very exciting, it's purely really honorific, and so you really only get those city-level protections if you get on the City Register.
How optimistic are you that some or all of these buildings will end up on that list?
Well, I have a long view. I know it's not going to happen overnight. I know this all starts with conversations, and so I know many of the property owners on this list, and we'll occasionally reach out to them and remind them that we're thinking about them, and that especially now in the post-recession era, that we really need to start thinking about the city that we would like to curate and have still standing 50 years from now. Because a lot of people say, here in Phoenix, we don't have a lot of old 100-year-old buildings or 200-year-old buildings, but there's a great saying in the preservation community that if you don't save your 50-year-old buildings, you're not going to have any 100-year-old buildings left.
Well, as you said, I mean, Phoenix has this reputation for not having a lot of older buildings, but it seems like it is sort of getting this reputation for having a stock of mid-century modern buildings. I mean, does Phoenix sort of have a reputation for this period of architecture?
Absolutely. And in fact, in the national press, we're often compared to Palm Springs in terms of the volume and the artistry and the level of mid-century desert modern design that we have here.
To what do you attribute specifically this city's fascination with this time period?
You know, that's a really good question, and I've had some time to think about that on summer vacation, because I just took a trip to Denver in Colorado and drove through the Rockies, and I was flabbergasted at how much of their Western architecture from the turn of the century they had actually managed to preserve. And we really don't have a lot of that here in Phoenix. And I think that part of why we're so fascinated, to get to your question about mid-century architecture here in Phoenix, is there is so much of it left, and it doesn't hide. It really stands out in contrast to what was built later in the 1970s and 1980s. And it's very exuberant. It's very uplifting. People feel good when they see it. People feel good when they're in it. And that's part of why I'm in this business, is I really like to see the look on people's faces when they experience these buildings for the first time.
Allison King with ModernPhoenix.net is a member of the Postwar Architecture Task Force of Greater Phoenix. We were talking about the panel's list of the top 25 eligible but unprotected mid-century marvels. The list got us thinking, why are we so fascinated by this time in history? Is it all just about a certain TV show? To find out if the mid-century modern craze is more than just Mad Men related, I'm joined by Amanda Dameron, editor-in-chief of Dwell Magazine. And Amanda, do you think the popularity mid-century modern design and architecture is enjoying now is a fad, or do you think it actually has staying power?
You know, honestly, I feel as though that this is just a truism, culturally speaking. I think that, again, with fashion and design in this sense of being representative of an aesthetic sensibility and a popular culture's aesthetic sensibility, things do come back and ebb and flow. And I think that we see this in furniture and interiors and the clothes that we wear. But another part of that is I think that with each new era, it's a reinterpretation, and the calling back is comforting.
How much of this do you think we can trace back to Mad Men?
That's a great question. I think quite a bit. Certainly. I think with any really popular television show just informs the culture's imagination as a whole, the way that Mad Men did, or any other really, really popular television show or widely consumed piece of content, it tremendously affects what people are interested in, and also what products are developed in a more mass consumer level for people to buy. So I would say that Mad Men was tremendously effective in awakening people's appreciation for mid-century modernism, certainly.
Is there something different about this era, though? Because, for example, like Downton Abbey is pretty popular, but you don't see a lot of people walking around wearing corsets.
Well, I would... I think that there's subcultures for everything. Certainly, it gets to a point where it transcends just a subculture, and it's more of a mass consumer level, and I'd agree that mid-century modernism is at that place. And I think there's something inherent to, because I don't think you're off base, I do think there's something inherent to the look and the feel of that design sensibility that is very accessible, and it's organic looking, and it's comfortable, and it wears well. So there's something to be said for that.
Do you think that our interest in this era now is just about the way things looked? I mean, is there anything about sort of how life was at that time or what society was like at the time that people are interested in maybe learning about or trying to recreate in some way?
Well, I think that certainly it must be said that that era in our history was a time of great optimism. And I think that that is always a comforting place to return to.
Well, for how long do you think that this trend will continue? I mean, at what point will we stop wearing skinny ties and stop having sort of these clean lines on all of our furniture and our design?
Well, I wish I could say that I have a crystal ball and I know how long these trends ebb and flow. I think that it's hard to define a certain shelf life to trends in any case. But I do think that there's so much attached to the era that is so livable, is so accessible, and certainly with the way our culture has changed and the way that we view imagery and get inspiration and ideas, it is certainly locked into place, mid-century modernism and that appreciation for now.
Amanda Dameron is the editor-in-chief of Dwell Magazine. Amanda, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.